What's going on, everybody? It's time for the Binge Boys podcast. I'm your host, Logan, and I'm joined by Matt and Tanner. Like always, what up, boys? How we doing?
How's it going? Doing good, Logan.
We're just doing the damn thing with horrible lighting on my part, man. I need to get a ring light that is right behind the camera because, you know, I turned on the overhead light up there. I turned on the big light behind me. It's a bad sitch.
Yeah.
Or a lamp. Something. I need to do something.
It'll make your makeup tutorials easier to make.
Sweet. Then I'm gonna capitalize and get myself a ring light, which actually, you know what? I'm gonna do right now, live. No. This is the Binge Boys podcast, everybody. Have you heard of it? If you haven't, I'm gonna tell you all about it. If this is your first time, welcome to the show. And if you're a longtime listener, welcome back. If this is your first time, however, the premise is that each week, Tanner, Matt, and I break down the hottest in TV and movies. That episode releases every Tuesday. Every Thursday, we have a bonus episode of the show, a little shorter episode, entitled The Run-Through. And on those episodes, I'm joined by a co-host, and we dive into a different movie or TV series, and we break it down element by element and give it an in-depth review. This week's episode of The Run-Through is DreamWorks animation classic Shark Tale. Not a classic. Kind of went under the radar. A lot of people didn't like this movie. Tanner and I did this one kind of in the same vein of it being like, it is Halloween, but at the same time, people are talking about mob stuff with The Sopranos. I mean, it's timely. Matt and I are both going through The Sopranos right now. And Jesus Christ, Georgie. The Many Saints of Newark came out a few weeks back, so we're just in the mob time. And Shark Tale is kind of a mob movie. It's a sneaky mob movie. Like half of the cast members are in The Sopranos or in other mob movies. So check out Tanner and I's takes. In fact, all of the hidden Sopranos references in Shark Tale, Tanner points them all out, which is awesome. So give it up for Shark Tale on Thursday. But first things first, about the Binge Boys, I need you to go follow us on Instagram at Binge Boys Podcast and on Twitter at Binge Boys Pod. The Instagram, you get all kinds of fun-filled reviews and top five lists, maybe some stories here and there. The Twitter is a little more engaging. You know, we'll tweet out trailers or clips or like events like we'll talk about later, like at DC Fandom. I was live tweeting the event, kind of tweeting out the trailers or the first looks as they came out. So when the Oscars come around, the Emmys, Golden Globes, we'll live tweet those events. So it's a good sitch. So just stay tuned for that. Make sure you've left that 5-star rating on iTunes, as well as giving us a follow or a subscribe on Spotify or iTunes respectively. Huzzah. And then just tell a friend in need about the show. That's all we need you to do. We bring you 2 episodes a week. That's what we give you. What we need from you is to do those few things that I just stated. We got a loaded epi. We got a lot of fun stuff to talk about this week. Real fun filled episode to talk about this week. But first, Tanner, not sure if you heard, but it's 2021 and everyone's on their hotness and fitness journey. Did you know?
I did know. Good. Almost.
Did you know that one of those aspects, the aspects of that lifestyle is eating healthy and meal prepping?
I did know that. I mean, but go on.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Matt?
I was going to say the number one most important fitness tip I've ever heard. You can't outrun a bad diet.
It's true. Most people have no idea where to start. I mean, I personally had no idea where to start. And I was overwhelmed by options, and I didn't know what meals suited me for the goals I wanted to achieve. But luckily, Prepped and Ready had that solution for me. Prepped and Ready Meals delivers high-quality, fresh meals with health and fitness in mind, with a variety of healthy and low-calorie but delicious meals. They can cater to anyone's personal needs. If you live in the greater Atlanta area and you're interested in meal prep made simple, you can go to PreppedReadyMeals.com and use code BINGE15 at checkout for 15% off that first time order. Smash that 15% off coupon. Take advantage of it. If you're not sure, you know, and you only want to buy a couple meals, hit that 15% off button. You don't have to spend a minimum amount of this or a minimum amount of that. You know, you just have to use that coupon. You get 15% off that first time order. Plain and simple. That's all it is. Now, got a couple headlines for you. First of which is a bad headline. This headline sucks. And I will say that it's kind of breaking news. It happened today. Marvel and Disney pushed back a bunch of movies. In fact, Marvel pushed back all of their upcoming movies. And I'm about to give you the new release dates.
Shut up.
You're upset about this, Tanner, aren't you? The Eternals, Tanner. Lucky for you, the Eternals and Hawkeye and Spider-Man No Way Home all release on the same day that they're supposed to.
Now I don't care.
I thought it was going to be the same day. It's like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, however, starts off these delays. It goes from March 25th, 2022 to May 6th, 2022. Moves back 2 months. You know, sucks, but whatever.
Okay.
Thor Love and Thunder, delayed from May 6th, 2022 to July 8th, 2022. Another 2 months. Black Panther Wakanda Forever, delayed from July 8th, 2022 to November 11th. Pushed back a few months, 4 or 5 months.
Sheesh.
Indiana Jones 5, not a Marvel movie, but Indiana Jones 5 was delayed from July 29th, 2022 to June 30th, 2023. Moved back 11 months. Which is, you know, a monumental move. I'm not super upset about Indiana Jones 5. Like,
well, that just kind of stinks, but okay.
Yeah, just kind of stinks. The Marvels, the Captain Marvel sequel, delayed from November 11th, 2022 to February 17th, 2023. Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, delayed from February 17th, 2023 to July 28th, 2023. Moves back 3 or 4 months, that one. And then an untitled Marvel movie moves forward from November 10th, 2023 to November 3rd, 2023.
Ooh, so about, you know, a whole year's worth total of delays, but 1 week moving forward. I think it's all kind of a wash.
Why?
Yeah, I think you're right. Also notable that Disney also removed two untitled Marvel movies that were originally dated for July 28th and October 6th, 2023 from the schedule entirely. So they removed those movies completely from the release date. Untitled Disney live action and 20th Century Fox movies were also removed. It doesn't mean that they're canceled. It just means that Disney has not decided on new release dates. No release date changes have been announced for the Disney Plus streaming series. This year's remaining MCU movies, Eternals and Spider-Man, remain on track for their deadlines. Deadline reports that the timing shifts have come about because, quote, some titles are contending with finishing scenarios while others are still production. Disney is not thought to be planning any day-to-date streaming releases and apparently isn't concerned with the global market after the success of Shang-Chi and Venom. So both of those movies did well enough that Disney was like, fuck this Disney Plus same day bullshit that we did for Black Widow. Like, we don't have to do that again.
I don't want to get sued again.
Right. So that's the sitch. You got to think. So if you look at this, Doctor Strange was moved from March 25th to May 6th of 2022. And then everything after that pretty much takes the previous movie's old release date.
Yeah.
So the question is raised, are they fitting something in? Or are they just moving back because movies aren't going to be done in time?
They're just moving back.
You think so?
Hard to know. Hard to know.
Hard to know. You never know. They could throw something at us. They could throw. That's just me wishfully thinking.
Sure.
But we're probably right on along the lines of they're probably just moving back because of what Deadline reported. Like, some movies aren't going to be done in time. So we're just pushing them all back a couple months, which sucks because half of these movies we would have seen by now if COVID hadn't been a thing. In fact, most, if not all of them, we would have seen by now if COVID never happened. But that's not the world we live in. So at least we still get Eternals and at least we still get Spider-Man on the days that we were promised.
We're still getting, we're still getting all of them. And those two untitled, like, who knows what they'd be.
Who knows? So,
I'm still excited, still happy.
Still excited, still happy. It'd be different if they were like, we're just going to take off Thor 4. We don't really need it. It'd be like, what? But they wouldn't do that.
You cancel Spider-Man.
Yeah. You know what? Spider-Man No Way Home, which, by the way, rumors have hardcore circulated today from theater working employees that state that a new trailer for Spider-Man No Way Home is coming within the next couple of weeks. Because of the launch of Eternals at the beginning of November, they said that they want to launch a new trailer with it. And this trailer will reportedly be the one that features Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield.
Here we go.
Accordingly, Tanner just moved out of frame, probably because he's celebrating off frame. But that's the situation. That's just a rumor. That's just somebody who works at, I think the screenshot was from somebody that works at AMC. And they screenshotted, like, apparently when you work at the theater, you can see the list of trailers that Disney says, like, you need to play these trailers in front of our movie. And it says titled Disney live action project. And it says that the trailer's 3.5 minutes long.
Trailer.
Very, very, this is all speculation.
Yeah.
But the odds are in Spider-Man's favors just because that's Marvel's next big release after that.
Right. It makes sense.
So we'll see. By next week, we could have a new Spider-Man trailer. Marvel could be like, hey, DC had a really good weekend. Let's blow the internet back up by showing Spider-Man, all three Spider-Man in the same trailer and just take the torch back over.
They're saying let's blow it up times two.
Yeah. But first, let's preface it by delaying all of our movies 6 months.
Sure.
But regardless. Next little headline. Last two headlines today are trailers. One of which I guarantee Matt didn't watch.
Because he doesn't care.
That wasn't even meant to be a shot. That was just like Matt's not a horror movie guy. And while me and Tanner saw this trailer for in front of Halloween Kills, which we'll talk about later. Scream, which is also known as Scream 5, but also a reboot / sequel that's just not called Scream 5. It's just called Scream.
Well, I just Googled it here, and it looks like it's also going under Scream, comma.
Jeez. this is the fifth installment of the Scream series. It is starring pretty much the original cast, including Courtney Cox, playing their original roles. It looks like they're kind of taking a page out of the Halloween book and saying, hey, what's her name? What is her name? Damn it. Why is her name escaping me, Lori. Bro? Lori from Halloween. What's her name?
That's her name, isn't it?
You're talking about Scream.
I'm talking about the chick that stars in Halloween, though. Jamie Lee Curtis. Yeah. That's it. I don't know why I couldn't think of it. Jamie Lee Curtis. Lori, they're saying, hey, they did it with Halloween. Why don't we do it with Scream? So looks like they're doing it with Scream. Premise of the movie, 25 years after the original streak of brutal murders shocked the quiet town of Woodsboro, a new killer has donned the ghost face mask and begins targeting a group of teenagers to resurrect secrets from the town's deadly past. Tanner.
I thought that looked awesome.
Are you ready for Scream, which launches January 14th, 2022?
That's a weird time to release it, but yes.
You know what they say? You know what they say about January releases?
They're awesome.
Nope. Really? They say that January, February, as well as November and September, I think, are the 2 months that typically get, they're called the dump months, where the studio wasn't able to compete with a summer release date, so they pushed the movie back to either January or November. And I don't think the Eternals falls into that category, but no, traditionally movies that end up in those release windows suck. Black Panther obviously broke that spell in February a few years ago. I mean,
that's also Black History Month, so
that's true.
There was layers of that.
That's a real good parallel. I didn't even think of that. Mm-hmm. So Tanner, are you on board for Scream 5 / Scream / Scream, comma?
It looks scary.
It does look freaky.
Yeah, looks freakier than definitely the first couple. They were not. Yeah, scary.
Looks freakier than Halloween Kills was.
Halloween Kill. Anyways,
We'll talk about Halloween Kills. Cool. Yeah, I don't think there's much to be said about it. It looks cool. Excited to see it. Hopefully, it doesn't suck. Have a feeling it will, but hopefully, it doesn't suck.
It probably will.
Yeah, well, you know, speaking of movies that might suck, the trailer released for Home Sweet Home Alone.
Oh, gosh.
Home Sweet Home Alone is an upcoming American Christmas comedy film. It is the sixth film in the Home Alone franchise, produced by 20th Century Fox as a Disney Plus original film. I don't think it's releasing in theaters. I think it's just straight up going to Disney Plus, which is a sign.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You want to talk about doing a dump month straight to streaming service as well?
True. True. The film stars Ellie Kemper, Rob Delaney, Kenan Thompson, and a few others.
Pete Holmes. This
thing's going to stink, man. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I think it's going to stink.
It's not looking forward to it.
I thought they were going to make one with Ryan Reynolds at some point.
I think they were, but then I think they scrapped it.
That sucks, because that would have been hilarious.
Here's what the movie's about. Let's see if this sounds familiar, okay? 10-year-old Max Mercer is accidentally left at home by himself when his family goes on a trip to Tokyo, where the family ends up having to take separate flights due to an error in flight booking. Max must defend his home from Pam and Jeff, a couple trying to steal a priceless heirloom from his family.
Okay.
The same thing.
Sounds like the plot line of Home Alone 1.
It does. Did you catch in the trailer how it like zoomed in on the officer's badge who was named McAllister, and then they didn't really follow up on that?
I'm thinking that the cop is I forget his name.
McCallie.
But the older brother that's kind of a punk.
Yeah, that's what it says. It's Buzz per
Buzz, Wikipedia. That's it.
Yeah.
Noted huge Home Alone fan Jordan Burton / former roommate of mine says this stinks. So I think this stinks. This is one of Disney's most disliked trailers on YouTube, receiving over 60,000 dislikes on YouTube the day it came out. This movie was met with very negative responses by fans. And Macaulay Culkin has outed and said, I was not even asked to be a part of this movie in any way, shape, or form. So,
yeah.
This That's one might be a stinker, but you know what?
It's going to be a stinker.
We're going to watch it because it's going to be fun to shit on it.
Yes, it will.
I will say that the kid is a very good actor. He was in Jojo Rabbit, Taika Waititi's film that came out a few years ago. And he's a really good actor, kind of a funny kid. However, okay. I feel like he's, Disney probably saw that movie and was like, this would be a good kid for a Home Alone movie. And they're doing it. The movie comes out November 12th on Disney Plus. We'll probably watch it and shit on it. It's free. It's not like that we need premiere access for it either. If I had to pay for $30 to watch that movie, I would not pay $30 to watch that movie.
Yeah, no, this is definitely one that if any direct dollar of mine went to it, I would be upset.
Yeah, this is
assuming so.
Sure. This is one of those ones that I would feel bad texting you guys and being like, hey, can we watch this movie? I'd be like, This would be one of those classic, hey, Matt, don't feel like you need to go to the theater to see this one.
Be ready to skip this one.
Yeah, be ready to skip this one. So, you know, we'll see. For all we know, we could be pleasantly surprised and it'd be a fun time. But, I mean, maybe we're all just going into it negatively because Home Alone 1 and 2. I think Home Alone 2 is the superior of the two. But those are such nostalgic movies to our childhood. So
very nostalgic.
So, you know, that's probably why it's getting really big amounts of hate. But either way, whatever. Yeah, in terms of main topics, we got some fun ones today, folks. Let's start her off by talking about a anthology series that released, I think, mid-September. It's called Star Wars Visions. Star Wars Visions is an anthology series on Disney Plus. And there's 8 episodes, I think, or 9 episodes, maybe. They're each about 15 to 20 minutes long. And that's it. Matt, are you getting your dose of WD-40 in the background?
Yeah, she was definitely hearing my voice and being like, I want to be in the mix. So here she is. She's going back with mom, it looks like.
Oh.
We'll figure it out. We can probably just leave the door open, let her go where she wants.
Okay, sounds fine.
Cool. Sorry about that.
No apologies needed.
If that wasn't all off screen, that'd be a great clip. But anyway, yeah, dude, I was digging Visions. I know, I feel like I was the highest on it of you guys, so I'd like to hear what just didn't quite work about it for you guys. See if I can refute any criticism.
Tanner, do you want to take it?
I can't say that 3 out of 5 is like a bad. It was good. I enjoyed it, but like, it just wasn't. It's just weird. Straight up. That's it. It's just, it was weird to me. It's not, it was like, is this really, at points I was like, it's not like, this isn't Star Wars. Most points I was like, this is not like the Pinocchio looking animation one. That was weird.
No, that wasn't Pinocchio. That was Astro Boy. That is an anime classic.
Yeah, I know what he's talking about.
Not wrong,
I know what Tanner's saying because I think I might have given it a 2, which
you
seems
did.
Harsh.
You did?
Seems harsh.
That is, because you gave Halloween Kills the same thing.
Well, if you want to put it that way, then maybe I need to go readjust. But you know what? I will readjust because I didn't hate this at all. I'll go 3 out of 5 as well. It's not a bad thing at all. Anime, I think we've established here, just isn't my thing. Mm-hmm. However, I did think it was really cool that each episode was animated in a different style. I really liked that. Instead of it just being the same animation episode after episode, almost like the Clone Wars or another Star Wars show.
Or even What If, kind of. That was an anthology, but had the same style throughout.
Right, right. So, yeah, I liked the animation styles. I thought they were all cool. There was just a few episodes that just didn't click with me just because the animation style seemed so far anime that it was almost like hard for somebody who didn't like anime to like it. But for the most part, I mean, it was cool. I mean, when there were fight scenes, the fight scenes were dope. Like, it was really cool to see how each different studio kind of like tackled like lightsaber fights.
Yeah, that turns out a lot of them really like kyber crystals.
So, I mean, definitely something worth checking out. I think it's something really unique. I never saw Star Wars doing something like this. So the fact that they did was really cool. Just anime is just not my thing. That's it, plain and simple.
Makes sense.
It's not like it was trash. Because when I was watching it, I was entertained. I was like, this is really cool. But just not something I would write home about or jump up and down and praise. But if someone was like, hey, you ever see Star Wars Visions? I'd be like, yeah, you should check it out. You'd probably like it.
Yeah, that's kind of like what I liked about it. My metric I was kind of using, I guess, especially with like an anthology, was how many of these would I be interested in seeing like a full series of? And it was more than not. It was more often than not, like the one with the, I think it was like the 9 Jedi.
I really liked that one.
Yeah, that was a really good one. Me too. The very last one that was kind of like a almost like a retelling of Anakin's switch to the dark side. Yeah, I really dug a lot of them, and just basically all of what you guys were saying, but just I liked anime and I liked it, and I like that Star Wars is sort of trying to do some different things, and I think that this was like a good primer for maybe people who like Star Wars and are potentially interested in anime, and then since they're all done in different styles, like you can be like, okay, so yeah, like the one that the Pinocchio looking one, it's like, oh, okay, I liked how this one looked, so I'll go watch, you know, Astro Boy. That's just the only parallel I know. Right. I don't know much about anime. I also really like the like all black and white one. I think it was the first one. That was tight.
I think so.
Because it had the lightsaber parasol. That was sick.
Yeah, I think there's a few of them. I need to like see if like Google Images has like an image that showcases like the animation style from each episode.
Yeah.
So I could like see them all, you know, because there were some that I enjoyed to the point where I would be game to, oh yeah, here's one, where I would be game to watch a full like series or season about just that anime style. How can I open in a new tab? Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, I enjoyed most of them. I really liked the one where, I liked the Nine Jedis one. I think that one was really cool. I liked
really strong.
I liked the black and white one because then the only color was like the color of the lightsabers. That was really cool. I really liked the one where there was like the old man that was just murking everybody.
Yeah. Dude, I knew that young guy who just wanted action was not long for this world.
No. So yeah, that's Star Wars Visions, guys. There's 9 episodes on Disney Plus. Like I said, there's like a few minutes a piece, like 15 minutes, 20 minutes max a piece. Like you could go through this in a couple hours. It's easy.
Yeah, you just chop through it. That's another thing. It's like I don't feel like much of my time was wasted. So it's hard to
No, I completely agree. Yeah. Tanner, is there anything else about Star Wars Visions you want to say?
No. I mean, it was, I did enjoy it. 3 out of 5 might be harsh, but it's just not my style.
You were hitting me on the side saying Tatooine Rhapsody, the one about the band, was your favorite one. It was weird.
Tanner.
Oh, yeah. Wait, I hit you. Wait, I texted you on the side?
No, I'm just kidding. Oh, okay.
Oh, man. Yeah, Disney Plus it. If you're interested, if not, then, you know, this isn't, well, I mean, I don't know. Well, actually, I think I did see a tweet that said that someone from LucasArts was like, no, it's not canon. This was just a fun passion project for a lot of studios to do.
But also, like, sure, they can be canon. There's a whole galaxy of places where this could be happening in a whole timeline. Like, who cares if it's canon or not?
Right, exactly.
It's Star Wars. You can do whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. Especially now that they've ended the Skywalker saga, like all these different projects that are popping up here and there, like you can just do whatever. Yeah. So Star Wars Visions. That was that. Now Tanner, little choose your adventure here. Do you want to talk about Squid Game or Halloween Kills next?
Well,
you didn't watch Squid Game, did you? I knew it. He told me the other day, he was like, I don't know if I'm going to be into this Squid Game stuff. And I was like, please try it. You didn't watch one episode?
I watched the first one.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good enough.
Sure.
So then we're all in different phases of the show then. Okay. Well, I finished the show on Saturday. We won't talk spoilers because I don't want to ruin it for the guys that haven't seen it all the way through.
I've seen 7 episodes, so I have 2 left.
Yeah, so you're almost there.
Yep.
I'm curious, Tanner. You've only watched 1 episode.
But why? It was why?
Yeah, why? We're talking about Squid Game. Why?
The reason I didn't watch the second one was simply due to, well, I just didn't keep going, and I just didn't do it, you know. But I really liked the first one. It was freaking, That's exactly what my reaction.
It takes a minute to get going.
Yeah,
but once it does get there, it's cool. I mean, it's really fucked. I mean,
yeah.
Everyone's talking about it. This is the number one show ever in the history of Netflix, by the way. They talked about.
I'll throw the flag on their metrics. See, like, I don't know. We'll see. Whatever.
Yeah, like, you're telling me that this beats out, like,
when they have, I don't know, like, what's the most office? Popular?
Yeah, like The Office.
Well, or I guess original, potentially. Yeah.
Maybe, but still, like, it beats out, like,
Stranger Things.
Tiger King.
Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
House of Cards. All of these major, The Witcher. All of these major. Yeah. I think, actually, Squid Games might have taken the crown from The Witcher.
It could have been, yeah. So, I'm not, like, you know, I'm not throwing the flag to say penalty. I'm throwing the red challenge flag. I want to see the data. We're doing sports now.
Well, you lost the time.
Well, Matt, I'm curious, where are you with it right now in your head? Like, is it great? Is it good? Is it, like, you don't see the hype and it's just an okay show? Like, where are you at?
I'd say it's firmly between great and good. Like, I definitely want to finish where it is, and I'm definitely, like, compelled by a lot of the characters to keep going, and especially the world building as well. That's one of the main things wanting me to keep going, just to learn as much as I can about just what's really going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think almost like I wouldn't say it's been, like, overhyped, but I feel like just a lot of sort of the iconic things that happened were kind of spoiled just as a function of being popular on social media.
Yeah.
Sure.
There's stuff I know that I wish I didn't.
Right, yeah. And so it's hard to look at it in a vacuum, but really it's just sort of between a 4 and a 5 for me at this point, between just depending on how they sort of land the plane over the last two episodes, which is really always kind of tricky. So what about you, Logan? Where does it sort of fall on that same spectrum that you asked me?
Well, I definitively, I think, give it, if we did half numbers, I'd go 3.5. But
3.5, wow.
Yes. Yes, 3.5. Only because I think, like you just said, and what Tanner just said, like, the way that society is talking about this show right now, treating it like it's the coming of Jesus, like, right, how it's, like, the most amazing thing in the history of television, I don't think it's that. I think it's the Hunger Games 2.0 with a twist. And the rest of the show goes on to show that, and I won't spoil anything, but because the ending is wild, you will shit yourself. You will look at your girlfriend and be like, oh my God. And it's good. And there's probably going to be more.
Oh really?
I don't know if they formally announced it, but I mean, if it's quote unquote their most amazing show ever, then I doubt that they'll let it go one season. It'll probably be their next big IP. But I don't know. I mean, I wish Catherine was in here so I can have her hop on the mic and give her take, because she was more amped to watch it episode after episode like I was. I mean, as it got closer to the end, I was like, we got to keep going. We got to keep going. Like, once we hit, like, episode 5 and on, I was like, oh, we got to keep going.
Yeah.
But those first 4, not to shit on it or anything, I just thought it was fine TV.
You know? Yeah. I think one of the things that makes it difficult at first to sort of keep going is that personally, I wasn't crazy about the main character. And I think that's kind of the point. Like, he's kind of a scummy dude.
He sucks, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I think, like, that's, you know, intentional, because just as the series develops, like, shows that like he's not a good person or a bad person. He has shades of both and he's just a person.
Yeah. The show does a fantastic job by the end of like its commentary on different kinds of people. Cause in the show you have all these different characters. You have the old guy, you have the bully that's really fucking mean to everyone. You have the annoying loudmouth chick that's annoying as fuck. If you want to talk about top five worst TV characters of all time, she's falling in that top five.
Dude, that's
she tough. Sucks.
Yeah.
But and you know what? And maybe part of it, and this isn't even to the show's discredit. I don't know who's responsible for this, but whoever's in charge of the English dub over voices, those voices also suck.
I think they're doing a really hard job, especially Logan with some later characters that were introduced in season 7. There's like a bad copy of a bad copy effect on there.
Oh, and yeah.
Yeah, some of them weren't great, but I feel like that's, you know, I personally would have preferred to watch it with subtitles, but potentially someone that I'm watching with perhaps might not have wanted to do that. I don't know, just speculating.
Are you saying your girlfriend was like, turn the stick subtitles off?
What? No, man. Why would I throw her under the bus like that?
Well, I'll tell you this. The subtitles I've read are more accurate than the dub.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually, we had the subtitles on when we watched, full disclosure. Yeah. And that made it more enjoyable because I was like, because the English version would be like, oh, you're asshole. But then like the subtitles say, you fucking dumbass, I hate you. Like it would almost provide more context than the English dubs. But I don't know who's in charge of it. I don't know if that's Netflix. I don't know if that's, I don't know who does that. But
yeah, I think it's just kind of like a difficult situation.
It is.
But yeah, I watched it all with dubs and it didn't kill it for me just because I'm sort of giving it a pass like in that regard. So
right. I mean, it's a foreign language show. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Tanner, does it interest you? Are you going to keep going or you could be straight up honest with us right now on the recording? Are you not going to watch another episode?
I want to just because it's so hype. I mean, everybody loves it. But then it also is kind of bothering me how everyone's just like, yeah, like you said, oh, this is the best thing in the world. There's nothing better. You know? I'm like, I can name 10 things probably better.
Yeah.
And you can. Yeah. It's by the end, I will tell you, it's something I realized like halfway through the show, with the exception of maybe one character in mind, every character in this show sucks.
They all are bad guys.
They all suck in their own way, except for one character. And this isn't even spoiler. I think the old man is a pretty pure character.
I think you're right.
But everybody around him, and I think there's almost a commentary on that, that they kind of try to push on you towards the end of the show. I won't say any more about it, but everybody around this old guy is a shitty person, but them being surrounded or them being accompanied by this old guy like almost brings out the better pieces of each character.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, I enjoyed it. Catherine and I really liked watching it. But it wasn't like something I'm jumping up and down about. I'm not clamoring for a season 2. I'd be down if they just ended it as it is. And they could end it as it is, but they won't. There's no way. There's absolutely no way.
Season 2.
Huh?
It's confirmed season 2.
Okay. Well,
did they confirm if it's like a continuation or just somewhere within the SGTU?
Well, it's funny that you say that because I think I saw a tweet last week from somebody in that worked on the first season. They said like, we don't know if season 2 is going to continue the story or kind of like prequel it up and kind of show how the organization came to be in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be game for both.
Both one or the other. Yeah. I mean, at this point, assuming that there is somewhere to go after the events of the show.
I can't wait to see. I can't wait for you to text us and or text me. Cause I finished it when you finish it, because It is pretty mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. I mean, not mind-blowing, but you will just be like, you're like, you'll look at your girl and be like, are you seeing this?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's pretty big. It's a pretty big deal. so I'm excited to hear what you have to say about it. So any more thoughts on Squid Game?
Just thought I was always really bad at red light, green light. So that'd be a tough way to start.
I mean, I thought I was pretty bad at red light, green light too, especially the fact that you're supposed to freeze after you stop running. I mean, that's tough.
That's real tough. But I was always a really good fast walker. So I'm thinking that that'd be the move where you're not like full on running, but you still got enough sort of pep in your step to get moving, but not so much momentum that you're going to fall.
Oh, Matt, I am all in on fast walking. Dude. I've done that my entire life.
Yeah. Yeah. Growing up, it was either walk fast or get lost.
Right. In fact, I don't know if your girl relates to this, but most often whenever we get out of the car, I am several steps ahead of Catherine. And it makes her very upset.
I always stop and turn around when I'm with them.
And then I just stop in the middle of the parking lot and wait for her to catch up. And even when we hold hands, I find myself a couple steps ahead of
her. Drifting ahead.
Like, yeah. And I'm not trying to run. I just walk fast.
Why waste time in transit? Let's do the thing we're there to do.
Amen. That's it. I'm writing this down. That's a good clip to cut.
This is good walk talk.
Walk talk. That's the name of it right there. Tanner.
Okay. Huh?
Are you game to talk about a certain movie we saw for a few minutes?
Yeah.
Let's not shit on this like we want to. Let's start positive, okay? Okay, but before we get into it, let me talk about some of the details of this movie. And of course, that movie is Halloween Kills. Halloween Kills is the latest installment of the Halloween series, directed by David Gordon Green, starring Jamie Lee Curtis, Judy Greer. Somebody Alan texted Thicke. Me that is a what?
Alan Thicke, he's in this movie, right?
I don't know who that is.
I can't think of anything he's in. He's just top of mind for whatever reason.
Will Patton, he's in here. Nick Castle, James Jude Courtney, whoever all these people are, random actors and actresses. And Michael Myers, of course. The movie synopsis sucks on IMDb, which, you know, nothing new there. So I'm going to our friends over at Rotten Tomatoes, and we're going to see if their synopsis is any better. I'm willing to bet that it is. Oh, man, the Rotten Tomatoes score is brutal. I'll have you guess it in a second, Tanner. Okay, here we go. Minutes after the events of the first film, Laurie Strode and her daughter Karen and granddaughter Allison left masked monster Michael Myers caged and burning in Laurie's basement. Laurie is rushed to the hospital with life-threatening injuries, believing she finally killed her lifelong tormentor. But when Michael manages to free himself from Laurie's trap, his ritual bloodbath resumes. As Laurie fights her pain and prepares to defend herself against him, she inspires all of Haddonfield to rise up against the unstoppable monster. The Strode women join a group of other survivors of Michael's first rampage who decide to take matters into their own hands, forming a vigilante mob that sets out to hunt Michael down once and for all. Evil dies tonight.
Evil dies tonight.
Evil dies tonight. Which was chanted several times throughout the movie.
By you guys, right?
No. I was waiting for Michael the whole time.
Opening weekend, this movie made a lot of money. It killed it this weekend, actually. It made $50.4 million during the pandemic. That's a really good turnaround. The movie clocks in right around an hour and 45 minutes. And Rotten Tomatoes-wise, the critics gave it a 39% rotten.
It's a 20.
For fans, give it a 71%.
What?
This movie. Let's say the positive. This movie was gruesome in every way that you want a slasher horror movie to be. There are kills in this movie that made me uncomfortable.
He could
brutal. You know what? There's nothing positive you can say about this movie, really.
No.
He gave it a wow.
Gave it a 2 out of 5, both of us.
This movie's not nothing positive, but a 2.
Yeah, so all right. So what, the only reason I gave it a 2 is because Michael was awesome.
It was entertaining.
I mean,
I was entertained.
Let me not, I don't want people to think I'm nuts by thinking Michael was awesome, because obviously he's not. He's a fucking brutal serial killer.
Right.
But entertaining. He are we doing full on
spoilers? Yeah.
Okay, so Matt, you're going to watch it. But definitely don't. Disgusting. But
if I'm making a list of horror movies Matt needs to check out, this ain't on it.
No. But the first scene was like, he comes out of that burning house and there's like 7 or 8 or maybe 9 firemen outside with axes and a buzzsaw. What is that thing? The big old
the buzzsaw.
Tables. Yeah. He had and he just had a single axe and he fought them off and killed every single one of them. Grabbed one of the axes. Or no, grab the buzzsaw and just slowly turns it and, you know, and
this movie doesn't hold back. Also, like, they full blown show you him cutting into people. There's a guy that he picks up by the skull and like squeezes his eyes out. You see the eyes rolling down his face.
Yeah.
He like grabs a guy, splits his face open. It's like,
what? Picks a knife right in that guy who's dressed as a doctor's eye.
Yep.
He's like,
I'll say this, that me and Tanner saw this movie with my mother, who loves Halloween movies, and Catherine. 10 minutes into the movie, Catherine looks at me and says, I want to go home. And at one point I looked over at her and she looks like this, arms crossed. And she's like, I am not having a good time. Sheesh.
What about the scene that he... So this woman grabs this big old desert eagle pistol.
Oh my God. She's like,
I can shoot this. And she takes it from her husband and she's coming out. So her husband just gets stabbed in the eye. And then she's coming. Michael's behind a car door. She's shooting the car door, missing like horrendously. And then she gets a little closer with the gun. He hits the car door. The gun spins in her hand. Poof, pops her head.
Blows her own brains out.
Well, it's a deagle.
But it was awesome. Like,
it was awesome, but it was like...
But this whole time... Sorry.
Is this guy John Wick?
No, he's just lucky. But he just... So, like, this whole town, the reason I hated this movie was the goddamn cringy town. The whole town, the whole time, I was like, I want him to murder them all. I mean, and he did. Spoiler alert.
I mean, he pretty much murks this entire mob because, these characters in this movie are the classic horror movie characters that they're like, oh my God, something's in the closet. Let's walk towards the closet. But they all they get motivated by this guy, their ringleader, is just like, we should stand up to this monster. He just survived a burning building. He just took on 10 firefighters. You know, he's bulletproof. People unload machine guns into him and he's still alive. We can take him down. And everyone's like, yeah. And it's just this angry mob of people trying to beat the shit out of Michael Myers. It just doesn't work.
It won't work. It'll never work.
The writing might be the worst thing about this movie.
He's like, come get it. Come and get it. Come on. God, I was just like, ugh. How many times have I looked over you, Logan, and say, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen?
You probably legit looked at me like 4 or 5 times and said, like, this movie is so stupid.
I don't do that very often.
No, you don't. And And it pisses me off too, because Halloween, the reboot that came out 2 years ago, 3 years ago, was awesome.
They butchered it with this.
You're talking because there were podcasters in it.
there's this. Well, okay.
Now that I'm thinking about it, this is a pretty this is a horrifically gruesome movie. Just like,
yeah.
The more I think about it, the worse I'm like, can I have nightmares? Like, I've had nightmares since. And they're very detailed and graphic.
I'm leaving it as a 2 out of 5 because I got what I wanted out of it. I saw Michael Myers kill people. That's what you go to see. However, the execution of everything around that was so bad. Because, you know, the story of these movies doesn't really matter. It's just Michael Myers killing people. And, like, them trying to form a story around that 9 times or however many movies there are in this series, it just gets old. And this movie is so these new Halloween movies, there's Halloween from 2018, Halloween from 2021, and then Halloween Ends comes out next Halloween, I think. They filmed them back to back to back. That's supposed to end the franchise.
Dang.
So this movie feels like, I'm trying to think of a really good movie that you can relate this to, but it's just the filler movie. Like they had movie 1 really, really solid, movie 3 really, really solid, but the one that bridged the gap between the two was this, and it wasn't good, man.
It was Attack of the Clones, except movie 1 is not really, really solid.
Yeah. Or Empire Strikes Back, except the opposite, because Empire Strikes Back is a great movie and this is not.
Dude, it's like they fully embraced the fact that we know how terrible horror movie characters are. They fully embraced it. Like this girl, first of all, this mob, they just open up a trunk, there's guns everywhere. And the girl, who's a teenager, Jamie Lee Curtis's daughter in the movie, just goes, "I'll take that one. It's a freaking giant double-barreled shotgun. Okay, she can shoot that." And then she goes, Michael's right here. She's like far away from him. So she barrel stuffs him. She runs at him. And of course, he fucking knocks it out of her hand. Like, oh my God, what a stupid movie. Except Michael was awesome.
Let's get this. This is a review from Rotten Tomatoes. I'm not reading the full review. This is just the verdict. Okay. The film uses the idea of trauma and the desire for vengeance at any cost to instigate a fevered, violent mob in such a clumsy way that it fails to make its point and thinks that it's making it. Even as the film reaches its climax, or semi-climax because it's a middle chapter of the story, it's trying to tell us how futile and hollow revenge can be. But it never makes that clear. It just uses these potentially interesting ideas to lay the groundwork for more blood. If it were all about the body count, I'd have to say it, but Halloween Kills would rather piss all over me and tell me that it's raining. No, thank you. To put it simply, Halloween Kills is bad.
Damn. It is. Although, and then he gets set up at the end, and it was kind of awesome when he was getting the shit beat out of him. We all thought he was dead, and then he just rises up, slashes a couple throats, and stabs the shit out of a couple people and beats some skulls in, and then goes and kills the woman that set him up, Jamie Lee Curtis's daughter. So she's gonna be pissed next freaking movie.
Yeah, also kind of misleading. Jamie Lee Curtis is not in this movie.
No. Like, and by the way, sorry.
No, she's in this movie for 5 minutes of screen time. That's it. Because it takes place directly after the first movie. In the first movie, she gets like a knife stabbed into her stomach. So this whole movie, she's just in the hospital observing from afar. Like, this movie does not involve her at all.
And it says, and the description says she, like, insightful mob led by her. Nah. They all just went crazy. She was in a bed. She didn't even know. She wasn't even awake when the mob started. Jamie Lee
Curtis doesn't even mob.
Yeah. Nah. She ain't mobbing.
She ain't in so, a bed.
Halloween Kills, man. This killed my fucking expectations. Just not a great movie, man. Kind of disappointing. I was really looking forward to a fun Halloween slasher, you know, October movie, but this just killed it, man. It was not good.
The only revenge that was served in this movie was Michael.
Yeah.
Not after great. Getting beat.
Wait, I thought his name was Halloween.
Huh?
Because he's killing in the movie.
Wait, what?
Halloween Kills.
I have no idea why it's called Halloween Kills. More like, they probably knew it was bad, so it was like Halloween Kills everyone's expectations.
Well, they've probably used every other subtitle out there in the game. Let's go through here, see some of the good ones.
Okay. Okay.
So just straight up Halloween 2, 3, Season of the Witch, The Return of Michael Myers, The Revenge of Michael Myers, The Curse of Michael Myers, Halloween H2O 20 years later, Halloween Resurrection, and then just two more named, like you were saying, just Halloween. Oh, and don't worry, there's a second Halloween 2. So they couldn't have a third Halloween 2. That'd be silly.
Nah, you can't do that. So that's Halloween, man. Halloween Kills. Check it out in theaters. Maybe don't. If you're a hardcore fan of the series, you'll love this movie. But if you're a casual fan, you... No. Okay. That's it. Now, to close out today, we'll talk about DC fandom.
Wait, can I issue one statement first?
Of course.
The person I alleged was in this movie, Alan Thicke, died in 2016. So, sorry about that.
That's great. Sorry, Alan Thicke.
Mega tough.
Mega tough for Alan Thicke. So, everybody, over the weekend on Saturday, we got DC Fandome, the second iteration. First iteration we got was last year because DC skipped Comic-Con and they were like, hold our beer. We're going to do our own Comic-Con. And they did, and it was a huge success. So they decided to run it back. So this year we got 2021 version of DC Fandome, and it did not disappoint. We got some great stuff from DC Fandome 2021, and I'm going to run through the highlights, and we'll talk about it piece by piece if needed. First up, to really kind of open the show, we got a look at Black Adam. Dwayne Johnson revealed footage, not even a full trailer, just kind of a little clip, about a 2.5-minute clip of Black Adam. We got some footage. Tanner, Matt, what'd you guys think of the Black Adam footage we saw?
I'm excited.
Let's go. The Rock.
Here's my problem with this. Here's my problem. This movie's been in the works for 10 years.
Yes.
And that's it. That's
the Rock announced this movie. I remember when I was in high school. I remember being at the lunch table on Instagram, seeing The Rock's post saying, we're going to do a Black Adam movie. And I was like,
sweaty
oh,
and
shit.
In the gym?
Yes, he was actually. And last year, they've been filming the movie for however long. Last year, we got that cool animated like drawing thing.
Yeah.
And they've been filming the year. This whole year, how's there not a full length trailer?
Rock's busy, man.
I guess he is, man. That must be the reasoning, because how do we not have a full blown trailer, man? We got this little clip that showcased Black Adam, but then we also got a little bit of behind the scenes looks at the Justice Society of America with Noah Centineo as Adam Smashner, Aldous Hodge as Hawkman, and Pierce Brosnan as Dr. Fate. So there's going to be some dope shit in this movie.
That's pretty cool.
Dr. Fate?
But he's basically like DC's Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We got some dope ass shit here, but at the same time, I just want to see more. I feel like they could have given us a little more, but according to The Rock, the hierarchy of power is about to change. So we're in agreeance. We just want more footage.
Yeah.
The movie will arrive to us July 29th, 2022. So be on the lookout for that, unless it gets delayed for some reason. which, you know, it damn well might.
Unlikely.
Next up, next big highlight that was kind of shown off to us was Aquaman in the Lost Kingdom. James Wan returning to direct, Jason Momoa returning to star. We got behind the scenes footage of this, no trailer per se, but lots of concept art, maybe like 5-6 minutes of behind the scenes, just James Wan saying that this is going to be a much more mature sequel, very dark, very serious, which, by the way, didn't say it for Black Adam. Looks very dark, looks very serious. Hard to believe that at some point this guy's going to have to go up against Shazam, which is like very jokey, comical, silly. So it's kind of tough to imagine that happening, because eventually it's going to. We got Black Manta. We got some footage of him doing some cool shit. And a quote from James Wan, it says, "I think it's something that's big of part of who I am, and it just naturally comes from these films, especially a movie like Aquaman, where the story takes place underwater. The world can be very scary." And Wan stated that because of people saying like, "Hey, you want to do some? You're a director who does scary movies. How are you doing the superhero movie?" And he says, "Well, parts of Aquaman is scary. The ocean is a frightening place, and him getting to explore that is pretty cool." But we didn't get any concrete footage or anything, so there's not really much to juggle here. Are you in agreement?
Yeah. Nothing.
Kind of disappointed at the lack of footage for a lot of these movies, whereas like I feel like they've had plenty of times to whip some shit up. But I don't know. I don't know the movie making process.
Yeah, maybe just with productions like slowing down over the past, since the last one, it hasn't really been able to, they haven't been able to get a full year of work done, maybe.
True.
They just wanted to throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and hope that got people excited enough.
And it did. I mean, I'm hype. The movie comes out December 16th, 2022. So that's end of the year next year for Aquaman 2, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Next up, in terms of movies and TV, we got a trailer for Peacemaker, which is a show that is coming to HBO Max on January 13th of next year. So in a couple months. Shout out to Megan that just texted me and definitely sounded off the situation. Peacemaker, man.
It's a sequel James to Suicide Gunn. Squad, right?
Huh?
Show. It's
a sequel.
I don't know.
No.
It's a... I think it takes place after the show or after the movie.
I thought he died.
Did he?
I thought he did.
Maybe.
Maybe.
He survived.
He died. Oh, no, he did survive. He's in jail.
After credit scene, bruh.
I've watched
he survived.
It, okay.
He's alive. I don't know, though. Actually, I don't know if it... actually, yeah, it says... Peacemaker will explore the origins of the character. So maybe he did die and I'm just not remembering correctly.
I got to find out.
I think you must be thinking of the weasel.
Oh, that was
this goes on to say Peacemaker originally seemed to have died in James Gunn's Suicide Squad following a shootout with Bloodsport played by Idris Elba. But a post-credit scene showed Peacemaker having made it through and sent on to the next world-saving event adventure.
Okay. I guess I didn't watch far enough.
It says...
The weasel, and I was sold like a sucker.
It says, Peacemaker releasing on HBO Max January 13th with 8 episodes, all directed and written by James Gunn. I'm sorry, never mind. All written by James Gunn. However, Gunn directed 5 of the 8 episodes. Are you guys game for some Peacemaker? Is this interesting to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it'll be funny as hell. Hell.
I hope so. Okay, that's that. Next up, we got confirmation that Blue Beetle is happening, a live-action Blue Beetle. They gave us concept art.
Very.
Which is very badass looking. Going to be the introduction, I think, total. I don't think Marvel has one, but this will be the first live action Hispanic superhero we've got. I don't think we've got one in Marvel.
Not that I can think of.
So we've got Mexican-American teen Jamie Reyes, which will be the Blue Beetle. Not much has been talked about. There's no release date in mind, but they do have a script, they have a director, and they have their main star, and they have concept art, and the suit looks awesome. So we'll just be on the lookout for more Blue Beetle. We got the Flash. This is one of the big ticket ones. Movie comes out, let's see here, November 3rd, 2022. So we've got about a year from now, we'll be seeing Flash. But today we also, that day, we got our first look at Michael Keaton's Batman and Batmobile, returning from the 1989 seemingly original Batman movie. We also saw in the trailer two Flashes working together, so they're definitely doing some time jumping, universe jumping madness.
Did you see the girl too?
Yeah, that's Supergirl, apparently.
That's what I thought. There was an S.
Yeah. So they're chilling with Batman, Supergirl, and Second Flash. Where are you at with your hype for this one, Tanner?
Oh, I'm pumped.
That's a squad.
Why couldn't they have just shown us the damn car?
Because they know that we know what it is, and they're not showing us on purpose.
Same reason Toby wasn't in the Spider-Man trailer.
Exactly.
It's only a good teaser. Point. Ezra Miller came on before and said, we aren't completely done, so we can't put together a full trailer for you. But here's something that we put together.
But here's some cool shit. And guys, I think even
how many heads he's going to crack. He's going to be so much more badass than he was in 89.
Yeah, I think this one, honestly, we'll talk about the Batman in a minute, but I think the Flash stole the show.
I agree.
Personally, I think this trailer was more impressive than the Batman trailer. I'll say that. Just in terms of hyping me up for the movie, like all of these projects, Black Adam, Shazam, all these little clips and snippets and behind the scenes of all these movies we got were awesome. But this one is the one that really was like, I'm in. Let's go. Like, take my money now. The others, I can wait. I'm excited for Black Adam. I'm excited for the other ones, but take my money now for this Flash movie. And I don't really even like Ezra Miller. I don't think he's a great Flash. I prefer Grant Gustin from the CW.
Me too. We all do.
I mean, I don't love Ezra Miller. He's a fine Flash.
Don't speak for me.
Do you love Ezra Miller, Matt?
I actually love Sheldon Cooper as the Flash. He's my favorite Flash.
There you go. That's the best Flash.
It's been a long, troubled road for the Flash. It was announced in 2014. Ezra Miller has always been attached in the lead role. The movie got a complete rewrite. The movie had two directors. It's been delayed a couple times. It's been involved in a Warner Brothers versus Ray Fisher's lawsuit. The Flash has been all over the place, but we're getting the movie November of next year. They showed us Batman, kind of. They showed us the Batcave. They showed us some good shit. I'm excited for the Flash, man. Before Saturday, I wasn't saying that, but now I'm saying it.
Same. Well, I always was because Keaton, you know, but now. That's my reaction. So,
yeah, exactly. Official
reaction.
Yep.
Can you spell that reaction out for us just so we could like write it down?
Hold on.
Yeah, how do I spell that?
B-R-R-R-R-R-R-R. Put uppercase R's in between. So
moving on from the Flash. They announced a handful of video games that look all really cool, but we'll talk about those at some point, maybe. I say a lot. There's a Batman animated show coming called Batman Caped Crusader. It's very adulty, apparently. It's adult and it's psychologically complex, and it includes new versions of familiar DC characters. This is being written by J.J. Abrams and Matt Reeves. So that's awesome.
Yeah. I saw that whole little snippet on, saw that live. That was cool. They were talking.
Yeah. So
in depth,
it's going to go straight to HBO Max, animated show. Doesn't have a release date, but, I'm sorry. It'll go to HBO Max and Cartoon Network. So it's going to be a little more mature, aiming towards 1940s Batman. So, that's exciting.
It is, but then they said going to Cartoon Network.
That so I'm worried about it being a little kiddie.
Yeah.
How adult can it be if it's going to Cartoon Network?
That's maybe it's going to go on Adult Swim.
Oh,
maybe.
That'd be awesome.
Can we get Robot Chicken to be canon into the DCEU?
Dude, they have to be a lot of people ready to sign to that. There was Star Wars. They made fun of everything. That'd be great.
Tanner, do you know what Robot Chicken is?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Oof. That's your homework. I still get the
theme song stuck in my head.
Yeah. What is it?
Yeah.
Sing it.
It's not really like a singable one. It's sort of like the sound that you just made. No,
they announced a handful of other things too, guys, but the thing that everyone was looking for was the Batman trailer, and we got it. We got the Batman trailer.
Not enough. They didn't show me enough. Or they might have shown me too much.
I don't think they I don't know. I don't think that's the personally, I don't think that's the case at all. I still don't know what this movie's about.
No. It's the Riddler.
Well, but what's the plot? Yep. That's it. Dude, we don't know what this movie's about. And that's okay because of all these movies that we get nowadays where they release 8 trailers and by the 8th trailer, we're like, we basically don't need to see the movie anymore.
No,
that's not the case here. We've barely seen the Riddler and he's the main villain. They did describe him to be very Jigsaw-y. So very mass murderer, horror movie, borderline villain, which is cool. I'm excited for that to see what they do there. But the Batmobile looks badass. I'm still teetering on the fence of Robert Pattinson, but I think he's going to do a good job. I mean, he's a great actor. People give him a lot of shit because of the Twilight movies, but if you look at some of his other work, he's a pretty damn good actor.
The Devil All the Time, he was awesome in that.
What was good in that?
Illusion! Sorry for headphone users.
No, but like, when I say they showed too much, they showed like some parts that I was like, Pat, like, you know, I didn't think he was this Batman, you know, when he was yelling, like, what did you do? It just sounded like kind of like a, like, I don't know, just didn't sound as intense as I wanted it. What did you do? It didn't sound.
Keep in mind that this is also a Batman that doesn't necessarily know his style yet. This takes place only his second year as Batman.
True.
Year and 6 months.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
So.
His
I don't know, man.
It's going to be brutal.
I think they're going for like Arkham style fighting where he just like breaks arms and legs and shit.
He's going to beat the shit out of people. Penguin looks incredible.
Dude.
He's awesome.
That is not Colin Farrell.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not. It isn't.
It is, but it's not. There's no way that's Colin Farrell.
I know. Maybe
it's secretly Danny DeVito running it back.
That would be awesome, honestly.
It would be awesome if they just didn't tell us who the Penguin was and then you just see like...
Well, he already did it in Batman Returns. He was awesome.
Yeah. If he ran it back and just did it out of secret, that'd be so tight.
I mean, as awesome as the Penguin can be, he's kind of a lower tier Batman villain.
Yeah, he's... Uh-huh. Yeah, you don't think so, Tanner?
Mm-mm.
I think Penguin is sub tier Batman villain.
What just happened? That's awesome.
The Penguin is not top tier villain.
Penguin's not getting above like B or C tier.
I think if we're going top tier, obviously Joker.
Joker.
I'm putting Riddler up there in top tier.
I put Riddler flirting with top tier, maybe like A plus. Like if S is the top, then like A. He's like in between those two.
We need to rank this next. This is what we're ranking next.
Batman villains?
Yes. We have some controversy.
Two-Face, I think, is top-tier villain. No. Mr. Freeze, Scarecrow. No. I think those are all top-tier villains.
I think, like, if we did do this, we'd have to do, like, are we doing it based on sort of, like, the average of all the versions of it or just, like, the best, our favorite, like, iteration of it? Because there's some really bad Two-Faces out there, but then there's the Dark Knight one, so...
Yeah, like, let's just pretend that the villains that we're ranking are the best versions of themselves.
Okay.
Like, I'm not talking Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mr. Freeze. I'm thinking, like comic accurate.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
my wife is in trouble. Like,
well, that's always true for him.
Yeah, true, true.
He's not Austrian. That's the only difference. No.
So... Yeah, I'm not jumping up and I wasn't jumping up and down about the trailer, but I did watch it a few times today, and I was like, okay, it looks pretty sick. Yeah. I'm excited for it. I mean, it's new Batman movie.
Yeah,
but the Flash took the cake for me.
He did. I agree. I was so hyped watching that. I watched it with you, Logan, live. That was hype as shit. We were running around the apartment.
Yep.
I definitely was, at least
rejoicing. You like my Krusty Krab shirt?
The Krusty Krab. Home of the famous Krabby Patty.
If you follow me on Twitter, dude, I don't know. I'll say this, and then I'll close it, or we'll close out. But I found this account on Twitter that's called Welcome to Day 13. And yes. It's just the clip of Mr. Krabs going, "Welcome to Day 13. day 15.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all it is. And the 15th day of every month, it just says, "Welcome to day 15.
Dude, I said it in a tweet several weeks ago, but we are in a golden age of niche bit Twitter accounts.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Yeah.
Not being one of them. Where he only tweets on Friday afternoon. Well, guys, that was DC fandom. Kind of ran through it quick, but didn't want to spend too much time on it because we could have been here for a whole nother hour if we really dove deep on it. But that was Binge Boys 241. Quick recap. Halloween Kills was not great. The run-through for Thursday is Shark Tale.
Sneaky mob movie.
Sneaky mob movie. Star Wars Visions is dope if you like anime. Squid Game is worth the investment, but we're not sure if it's worth the hype. And DC fandom had its ups, had its downs, but for the most part, some ups. We're excited for some DC stuff.
Yes.
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 Other than that, that was Binge Boys 241. Woo! We'll come at you guys next week with some fun stuff. We got Dune this weekend. Ooh. The movie that has been delayed 12 times. I think that movie's right up there with No Time to Die being one of the movies that got pushed back the most because of COVID.
Yeah.
I'm still so happy with No Time to Die.
Huh?
I'm still so happy with No Time to Die.
Yeah, it was good. I still think about it.
You do.
Unlike Halloween Kills.
I actually have thought about it due to nightmarish scenes in my head.
Sorry about that, Tanner.
It's all right. I've watched worse.
Me and Tanner will see you guys on Thursday for Shark Tale, the low-key mob movie Under the Sea.
Bye. Say, hey, where you at?